नमस्ते वासुदेवाय। नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयम् उदीरयत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। दिस मॉर्निंग वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम नाइन्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 15 एंटाइटल्ड परशुराम द लॉर्ड्स वॉरियर इनकार्नेशन टेक्स्ट नंबर 31। यथो आसौ प्रहरत् परश्वदो मनो अनिलाजाः परचक्र सुदनः ततस् चिन्न भुजारु खंदरा निपेतु पूर्व्याम हता सुता वाहनः। यतो यतो सा प्रहरत् परश्वदो यतो यतो सा प्रहरत् परश्वदो मनो निलाजा परचक्र सुदना ततस्ततश्चिन भुजारु खंदरा ततस्ततश्चिन भुजारु खंदरा निपेतुरुव्याम हतसूतवाहना निपेतुरुव्याम हतसूतवाहना। यतो यतो सा प्रहरत् परश्वद ततस्ततश्चिन्न भुजारु कंदरा निपेतुरुद्याम हतसूत वाहना। यतः वेयरएवर यतः वेयरएवर असौ लॉर्ड परशुराम प्रहरत् स्लैशिंग परश्वदः बीइंग एक्सपर्ट इन यूजिंग हिज वेपन द परशु और चॉपर। मनः Like the mind, anila, like the wind, ojaha, being forceful, parachakra, of the enemy's military strength, Sudanaha, killer. Tattaha, there. Tattaha, and there. Chinna, scattered and cut off. Bhuja, arms. Uru, legs. Kandaraha, shoulders. Nipetuhu, fell down. Urvyam, on the ground. Hata, killed. Suta, chariot drivers. Vahanaha, carrier horses and elephants. Translation. Lord Parashurama, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemy, worked with the speed of the mind and the wind, slicing his enemies with his chopper or parashu. Wherever he went, the enemies fell, their legs, arms, and shoulders being severed, their chariot drivers killed, and their carriers, the elephants and horses, all annihilated. Responsibly. Lord Parashurama, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemy, worked with the speed of the mind and the wind, slicing his enemies with his chopper or parashu. Wherever he went, the enemies fell, their legs, arms, and shoulders being severed, their chariot drivers killed, and their carriers, the elephants, and the horses, were all annihilated. Report by Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning, when the army of the enemy was full of fighting soldiers, elephants and horses, Lord Parashurama proceeded into their midst at the speed of mind to kill them. When somewhat tired, he slowed down to the speed of the wind and continued to kill the enemies vigorously. The speed of the mind is greater than the speed of the wind. So, yato yato sa praharat parashpado mano nilauja parachakra sudana tatas tatas chinna vidyor kandara nipeturu vyamata suta vahana. Lord Parashuram, being expert in killing the military strength of the enemy, worked with the speed of the mind and the wind, slicing his enemies with his chopper. Wherever he went, the enemies fell, their legs, arms, and shoulders being severed, their chariot drivers killed, and their carriers, the elephants and horses, all annihilated. Srimad Bhagavatam is, of course, it is Amala Purana, the spotless scripture. It is the natural commentary by Vedavyasa on Vedanta Sutra, and Vedanta Sutra is the end of all knowledge, Veda Anta. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the most relevant and important of all scriptures, but we see that it's dealing with stories where so many people are killed. So what are we to understand from this? Should we burn down all the mosques in India, or what should we do to follow Srimad Bhagavatam? Should we start chopping off people's heads? And of course, we heard yesterday, "Te jiyasam na doshaya." Those who are powerful living entities, their activities are not to be imitated. We can follow their instructions, but we cannot imitate their pastimes. Of the three Ramas, Balarama, Ramachandra, and Parashurama, Parashurama is a Shakti Avesh incarnation. He's called Lord Parashuram, but he's an empowered jiva. This was demonstrated when he actually challenged Ramachandra. Remember, just after breaking Haradhanu and earning Sita Devi as his wife, Lord Ramachandra was approached by Lord Parashurama and challenged that, "Who are you? I am the greatest person in all the universe. I am Rama. How do you assume the name of Rama?" And then Lord Ramachandra revealed to him that he was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu Tattva, and Parashurama became quite convinced and even fearful, and offered his obeisances and then left. So even though he is an avatar, Shakti Avesh avatar, but nevertheless, here we see that he fought with the speed of mind. But when he became tired, he fought with the speed of wind. We don't expect Lord Krishna to become tired. He's the source of all energy. If Lord Krishna becomes tired, then where do we fit in? Lord Krishna is the source of energy, unlimited energy. In fact, we say that if we are connected with Krishna in service, in devotional service, then we will be able to exceed our own limits of energy. The activities Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigye Na Bhujaya. The activities of the Vaishnavas, who are servants of Krishna, are very wonderful. And they can perform Herculean tasks. Hercules, of course, was a symbol, a Western symbol of great physical strength. Of course, we have much better examples like Hanuman. In the West, they have to settle for Hercules. But the English expression is Herculean tasks. Great feats of strength the Vaishnavas can do, like Srila Prabhupada at the age of 80, traveling all over the world freely, not being upset by any kind of jet lag, not being disturbed by so many disturbances, so many problems, and spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. Now that is a Herculean task. Where did Prabhupada get the strength to do all of that? No ordinary person could do that. But Srila Prabhupada did that because he was absorbed in fulfilling the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore he received whatever he required, whatever strength and facilities he needed, the Lord was very happy to provide. In fact, we will find in our own devotional lives that we will be forced to undergo many tests in our devotional lives. And Vaishnavas take these tests as opportunities to serve Krishna. In fact, if we're not being tested, then perhaps we're not being noticed by Krishna. In fact, we should pray to Krishna to give us newer and newer opportunities to surrender to Him. But we'll find that when we get a test, Krishna also gives the requisite, the appropriate, the sufficient strength and guidance to pass the test. It's not like when you go to school and you write your exams. Now a lot of kids are writing the exams, otherwise this class would be filled up with people, but kids are writing their exams, so they're probably home studying. We wish. Anyway, they go into the examination. There's nobody there to help them. They have to depend on their own prowess to get a 40% passing mark. But when you take Krishna's shelter, Krishna drives your chariot and He never divorces you. Krishna never leaves you. So we're very fortunate to have such a wonderful spiritual master as Srila Prabhupada, who has given us this understanding to be engaged in Krishna's service, and we'll never get tired. We can act always with the speed of mind to that degree to which we're surrendered to Krishna. We will be empowered by Him to perform His work. We're doing His work. So naturally He will empower us. Of course, Parashuram, the speed of mind is very fast, and so is the speed of wind. They're different, just like the speed of light. A simple example, when you see an airplane, a jet airplane taking off from Santa Cruz Airport, you see the jet airplane over here, but you hear the sound of the jet airplane coming from over here. Why is the sound coming from over here and the jet is over here? Because the speed of light is faster than the speed of sound. So you're actually seeing by the speed of light the jet, but the sound is taking some time to reach you. The jet has already passed away from that place in the sky where it made that sound. So similarly, the speed of mind. You see the jet flying off to America, and your mind immediately finds yourself a seat inside the jet. And there you are, going to America. Very quick travel. You don't even have to get on the jet. You can simply think of America and immediately you're there. The speed of mind is very quick, obviously. Of course, we know that one cannot reach the lotus feet of Krishna even if he travels for millions of years at the speed of mind. That's not the way to satisfy Krishna or to reach Krishna, to try to catch up to him. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, one should not try to see Krishna, but one should act in such a way right here on earth, right here at Hare Krishna land, right in your own service. You should try to be exemplary. You should try to act in such a way that Krishna will notice you. Radharani will see you, then your life is perfect. Not that you neglect your service and spend your time trying to penetrate the material nature, trying to find out Krishna without having the appropriate qualifications. You cannot. So, Parashurama course, did engage in a lot of killing. This is not very palatable for Vaishnavas. So how do we understand it? All this bloodshed, lakes of blood, arms, heads chopped off. How do we understand all of this? Is this something very wonderful to meditate on? Well, first of all, the most difficult lesson that we have to learn is the very first lesson. And that is that we are not these bodies. It's easy to say, but difficult to understand and act on that platform. So there's shock therapy in psychology and psychiatry. They use shock therapy. Formerly, in the last so many decades, since the 1940s, shock therapy has been banned or criticized heavily by liberal psychiatrists and psychologists, etc. But now more and more it's coming back, using shock therapy for mental patients. There is some utility in shock. We need a good shock to shake ourselves out of this illusion in the material world. We need a good slap in the face sometimes. Wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up, sleeping souls. So here's a shock. Blood and arms and legs. But the body is already dead. Why do you lament? Asochanam vasochas tvam pragyavadam shabhashase. Gatasun agatasumscha nanusochanti pandita. The learned person doesn't lament even for the chopped up body. It's just a bag of kapha pitta vayu. So many abominable things. You would never think of keeping a bag of blood and stool in your house. No one would do such a thing. But that's all the body is, and we worship it every day. So this helps us to come out from that illusion. And it also helps us to understand that yatra yogeshwara krishno yatra partho ganurdharaha tatra shir vijaya bhutir dhruvani firma firma ma. Wherever there is the Supreme Lord, either as Balarama, Ramachandra, or Parashurama, there will always be victory, success, opulence. So we have to have that faith. And these verses from the Bhagavatam reinforce our faith, because faith is all we have. That's all we have, is our faith in Krishna. We can't see Krishna with these eyes. We can't perceive Krishna with this dirty heart. Gradually we will come to see the deity as Krishna. Gradually we will come to hear the holy names as we practice the purificatory process of chanting and taking prasadam, etc. But it's a gradual process. So in the meantime we are sustained. Why do we stay here at Hare Krishna Land? Why do we continue to work hard without any pay, without any facility, without any old age pension or security? Why do we continue to work without family, without this and that? Because we have faith. So this faith is important, and our faith needs to be constantly reinforced. Just like I was reading about Radharaman temple in Vrindavan. And that temple is still existing today, but it has been reinforced many times because the original building has decayed with the force of time and would have fallen apart. We would not have had Radha Raman Mandir. But throughout the years, the latest was sometime in 1860, the building was reinforced. So we need to reinforce our faith also constantly. By reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we can do that. Our faith is strengthened and our devotional service is stabilized. Without faith, we can't act with full conviction. If you have doubts in your mind, then you will hesitate to act. Therefore, we need to strengthen our faith. We need to do things which all the scientists have testified will strengthen our faith. All the spiritual, all our preceptors, all our acharyas, they've given us this process. So today is the auspicious appearance day of one of our preceptors, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami Prabhu ki! Yes. We owe everything to the six Goswamis because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not personally write any books. He came here to this world and he manifested his pastimes as the Sankirtan incarnation. He went everywhere and chanted, but he didn't sit down and write books. So we would not have known about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu if it had not been for the six Goswamis. Of course, Mahaprabhu instructed them to write books, but it is by their mercy that we are even able to have an idea of their character, of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of the standard of devotional service in Kali Yuga, of the Yuga Dharma. None of these things would have been known to us. And to give you an example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he visited Vrindavan, practically all the holy sites had been lost. Nobody would have known of Vrindavan if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not reestablished them. And similarly, even only a short time later, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to preach so strongly in Vrindavan, the most holiest, the most holy of all dhammas, Sri Vrindavan Dhamma. But it had been overrun by dacoits and bogus preachers, and so Bhakti Siddhanta practically risked his life to preach strongly there. And we are fortunate to be able to visit Vrindavan and learn about Vrindavan because of his strong preaching and then Srila Prabhupada's preaching in Vrindavan. So the Goswamis, especially Gopal Bhatta Goswami, there's not a great deal known about him. Although he is a Smritya Acharya, in other words, he did write books which are considered Smriti by Vaishnavas, their scripture. But he was very reserved. We know that he was one of the inspirations behind the compilation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami hardly refers to Gopal Bhatta. Once or twice he refers to him, whereas he refers to his other Siksha gurus many times, but Gopal Bhatta is only mentioned once or twice. And why? Because Gopal Bhatta made that condition that I'll give you my blessings and my advice, but You must not mention my name anywhere. So that was his sentiment, that was his mood. Gopal Bhatta was introduced to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was 7 years old. In other words, he was born in 1503, and Mahaprabhu, at that time, around 1510, 7 years later, went on a tour of South India, a walking tour, Padyatra of South India, and he happened to come to Rangakshetra, just at the time of Chaturmasya, and at that time there were some Vaishnavas there, not a great many, but one very prominent Vaishnav family was the Vasu family, or Bhatta. There was one Venkata Bhatta, the father of Gopal Bhatta. Bhatta is a title given in South India especially to very learned brahmanas. Just like in Bengal you have Chakravarti. So in South it is Bhatta. So Venkata Bhatta and his brothers, he had two brothers, they hosted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in their house for 4 months. So at that time they were scholars of the Sri Sampradaya. They were devotees of Ranganath. And they worshipped Krishna in awe and veneration. Aishwarya Bhava, opulence. We are also worshipping the deities as Lakshmi Narayan. We dress Radha and Krishna very opulently. But our understanding is that one will advance to the stage of Madhurya Bhava, Gopi Bhava, the understanding of that Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worshipped the gopis as the highest emblem of unalloyed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while staying there, he preached. He appreciated their worship, their devotion, but he also preached to the Bhatta family, especially to Venkata Bhatta. And there's a famous discussion between them where Mahaprabhu appreciated the worship of Lakshmi Narayan, but then he questioned, why is it that Lakshmi Devi, even though she is the consort of Narayan, but she became attracted to the Rasleela dance. She became attracted to the intimate activities of the gopis and Krishna. So Venkata Bhatta had an answer for that. He said that Narayan, Krishna, Vishnu, they're all the same person. So Lakshmi is also the wife or the consort of Krishna. So where is the harm if she is attracted to Krishna in another form, in another rupa? Where's the difficulty? So that's all right. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu questioned, but why is it that she was refused entry into the Gopi Leela, into the Rasa Leela? Was it because she refused to give up her Aishwarya? The gopis were all in a very simple mood of a cowherd girl. They had no such opulence. So anyway, Venkata was certainly convinced, and he and his brothers became Chaitanya Bhaktas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But most importantly, Gopal Bhatta is 7 years old. He was privy to all this discussion, and he was greatly influenced at the age of 7, 8 years old. And he actually had a dream. He had a dream, young boy, more like a vision. And he was transported to Navadvip Dham in that vision. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his swarup, he revealed his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Gopal Bhatta. And Gopal Bhatta became very ecstatic. And he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wanted to surrender to him at that time. But Mahaprabhu told him to stay at home. He said, your mother and father are Vaishnavas. You take care of your mother and father. When they die, then you can come to Vrindavan and serve me. So that's actually what happened. Venkata Bhatta and his good wife were pure devotees of Krishna. They gave their son permission to go to Vrindavan, and they also gave up their lives remembering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they're very, very exalted parents. And therefore Mahaprabhu advised Gopal Bhatta to serve his parents because they were exalted parents. Then when Gopal Bhatta actually came to Vrindavan, he met Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. A letter was sent to Puri, Jagannath, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing. And Mahaprabhu was ecstatic to hear that Gopal Bhatta had indeed arrived in Vrindavan, and he wrote back that Rupa and Sanatana should accept Gopal Bhatta as their younger brother and take care of him and train him. And, of course, that's what happened, especially Sanatana Goswami took a great liking. Everybody liked Gopal Bhatta. His character was exemplary. This is the method, actually, to conquer the world. Not by our scholarship, which is important, we should not be foolish, but by our character. People will be impressed, people will be moved to follow, people will be inspired to learn more about Krishna consciousness when we ourselves are the perfect example. Prachar and achar, both of them are important. So when our achar is very nice, so Gopal Bhatta, he was very humble and very scholarly. He was actually very scholarly. He was trained up in a Vaishnava family from his birth, Sri Vaishnavas. And he was the favorite, especially of Sanatana Goswami. Sri Sanatana Goswami compiled the famous scripture Hari Bhakti Vilas, but he compiled it in the name of Gopal Bhatta, dedicated it to and in the name of. So sometimes it's said that Gopal Bhatta Goswami was the author of Hari Bhakti Vilas. And later on, Sanatana Goswami had a Dig Darshini Deepika commentary on Hari Bhakti Vilas, and Gopal Bhatta added his own comments and sections to it. There is some doubt that some of the portions of the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which were compiled by Gopal Bhatta, taken from the Smarta Brahmins of, or at least they were influenced by the Smarta Brahmins of South India, and are not so directly applicable to Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So it is recommended that one read Hari Bhakti Vilas, especially the commentary by Sanatana Goswami. Gopal Bhatta also compiled a book called Sat Kriya Sara Deepika, which is a book. Again, try to remember that the six Goswamis, although they were renunciates of the highest order, although their austerity cannot even be imagined. They hardly ate or slept. So maybe half an hour a day, they would eat their huge meal of buttermilk and sleep. They just wanted to do away with eating and sleeping so they could be absorbed in Krishna Katha. In fact, during their sessions of Krishna Katha, it was Gopal Bhatta who would often read from the Bhagavatam and other Shastras, and the other Goswamis would listen and discuss. But during their days, they would hardly eat or sleep for 1 hour, and sometimes they forgot. Can you imagine forgetting prasadam? I don't think any of us is going to forget what we're entitled to have in another 12 minutes or so. But the Goswamis sometimes forgot. They were so absorbed in the nectar of Krishna Katha. So, Gopal Bhatta, he wrote a book which was, although they were absorbed in this austerity, they were not indifferent to the public. And they knew that the general public could not follow their example perfectly, and they knew that the general public was suffering. But they didn't ignore them or run away or try to hide. But as Gopal Bhatta did, he compiled this book, which it describes householder life, basically. What householder life should be in Krishna consciousness, right from the initial marriage ceremony through Garbhadan Sanskar to Mandan to all the different ceremonies. I think there are 8 different important ceremonies in the life of a householder. So he elaborately described all these things in his, maybe there are 6, Satkriya Saradipika. Sat would seem to indicate 6. but there are different ceremonies and he described them nicely so that householders can fulfill their desires for sense gratification in a legitimate way, in a religious way, and achieve perfection in spiritual life also, or at least not miss the opportunity to make advancements. It is true that householder life is like a well, a deep dark well, and if one is not very careful, he can slow down his progress or even miss the opportunity. So one has to rigidly follow the guidelines for Grihastha Ashram. He also wrote Sanskar Deepika, which is another book along the same lines, but describing Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Gopal Bhatta was, like all of the 6 Goswamis, there are 8 principal gopis, we know, who are directly engaged in enjoying pastimes with Krishna. There's, of course, Lalita and Vishakha. And then there's, Chitra. Chitra, Induleka, Ranga Devi. How does that go? Champakalata. And I got one more there. Sudevi. Tungavidya. Tungavidya and Sudevi. And then there are the Manjaris who assist. They're not personally enjoying independent pastimes with Krishna. They're not competing at all. But they're assisting. So here is one of the 6 Goswamis. The 6 Goswamis are generally described or revealed as Manjaris, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami is known as Ananga Manjari, and he assists Champakalata in satisfying Krishna's senses. So today is his appearance day, and There's some interesting stories about the Radharamana temple. While he was performing austerity in Vrindavan and studying under Rupa and Sanatan, Raghunath Bhatta went to Nepal. He took a journey to Nepal and he went to this Gandaki River and gathered 12 Shilas which he wanted to worship. All of the six Goswamis established some kind of temple and had some deities that they worshipped. So he also wanted his deities, but he got these Shilas, 12 Shilas. He carried them back to Vrindavan, but then, humble as he was, he felt that he was not worthy to worship them. So although he had a very difficult, arduous journey to Nepal, he wasn't a young man. I mean, even then, in those days, it meant traveling by foot. Again, he took the deities, the Shilas, all the way back to the Gandaki River and put them back in the river. And he turned to go, and then the Shilas jumped out of the river and came in his bag. So again, he put them back. Again, they jumped back. So this happened 3 or 4 times. So it was obvious to him that Krishna wanted him to worship those Shilas. So he carried them back to Vrindavan and worshipped them. And then after he left the world, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the world, he felt great separation, as did everyone. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, everyone felt great separation, devastation at the loss of his association. And especially Gopal Bhatta, he had no deity to worship. So he didn't know what to do, and he prayed to his Shilas, and one of his Shilas, Damodar Shila, the next morning, he was praying at night, and the next morning that Shila manifest himself as Radha Ramana. So that temple is still there today, Radha Ramana temple. And it's in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. And it's a wonderful temple. It's only an 8-inch high deity. Small deity. But people come from all over just to have darshan. The deity is so attractive and beautiful. There's no deity of Radharani, but Gopal Bhatta put a crown beside the deity, indicating the presence of Radharani. Radharani is there, but you have to have the eyes to see Radharani in this case. So if you get a chance, you can visit Radha Ramana temple in Vrindavan and think of the wonderful pastimes of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So, are there any comments? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.